It was the most humiliating start to a birthday Gary Irvin could remember. There had been more painful, his 12th, when his parents had been unable to afford the skateboard he'd wanted. His dad had fashioned him one by gluing a piece of rubber tread to one side of a short plank and fixing the wheels from an old pair of roller skates to the other. Lacking any steering capabilities, he'd barreled down Castle Glen Bridge and straight into the bus shelter, losing his front teeth in the process. There had been more outrageous. His 18th, when he had been woken by his mum's shrieking after she found him unconscious in the downstairs hall, the cold trail of vomit marking his wobbly progress from the front door, the cock and balls inked on his forehead, starkly proclaiming that he was now of legal drinking age. And there had been more confrontational. Last year, for instance, when Pauline had accused him of being selfish because he'd suggested derailing her plans to go shopping in Glasgow so that he could play golf. But this was definitely the most humiliating. It happened like this. Pauline had to be up early to get to a school over near Cumnock, where she had a show to put on for some Year One kids. Even though it was his birthday, he got up before her, as he always did, and made her breakfast. At 6:30, he slipped from the warm pocket of the bed, the golf dream he was having, ball flying straight and true under a clear sky, evaporating around him as he yawned and scratched his way downstairs. It was the second week of April, and the spring dawn was already underway on the west coast of Scotland, squares of weak sunlight forming on the walls. Opening the kitchen door, he saw Ben's lifeless form slumped in the corner, his snout buried deep inside a training shoe, like he was wearing an oxygen mask. And for a second, Gary entertained the usual delicious thought. The monster had finally died in the night. But when he leaned in to investigate, he saw that the dog's flank was rhythmically rising and falling as his ancient, tattered lungs emptied and refilled, his back legs trembling and twitching as Ben pursued his own dreams into the dawn. Terrible Ben dreams. Rivers of human blood. Turds the size of cities. Ben scented him and rolled over. Not completely awake yet, but already composing his features into a snarl of hateful greeting. The growl rising within him, his instinctive response to any human presence bar Pauline's. As he stretched himself fully awake, Ben's growl sharpened in pitch, quickly reaching the level of ultra-hate reserved solely for Gary, defiler of his mistress, before resolving into a series of short barks. "Oh, please, shut up, Ben,"